This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. I have a very special guest today. His name is Douglas Weissman. He's going to be talking about what it means to be authentic in your writing and how to lean into vulnerability. Doug is a travel writer and novelist. He avoided writing for years, thinking there was no future in it, but he kept coming back to it in one form or another and realized it's where he needs to be. Doug's new book, Life Between Seconds, is available on Amazon and other booksellers. Welcome to the show, Doug. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
It's totally my pleasure. So the first question I want to ask you is, tell us a little bit about how you finally decided that, yes, you were going to be a writer.
I ask myself that sometimes as well. But I think it was a big epiphany when it was a collision of events. It was not being ready to go out into the quote-unquote real world, not really knowing what I wanted to do or how to get there in terms of a professional career. Again, I put quotes around professional career. And also my desire to continue absorbing and sharing stories. And so this was in about 2009. I finished university and I was going to do a year abroad anyway. That was my decision. And it was good timing because the Great Recession hit. So there wasn't really any jobs out there anyway for my generation at the time. Mm-hmm. And as I was traveling, I was blogging, not for monetary reasons, but to try and keep my family and friends back home abreast of what I was doing, where I was going, because it was a lot easier than sending one-on-one emails or even trying to call people at that time, especially calling. But when I came back, I had sent out applications for grad school just thinking, oh, it's a stopgap, but I didn't get in because I was just thinking it was a stopgap, but then really dove into this idea of, well, what if I could write as a career? What if I could tell stories and make it work? And I'm no longer going to be afraid of trying to make it work and no longer going to hear that voice in my head or that voice of society, again, in quotes, mm-hmm. of writers are always poor, impoverished, or don't do this, can't do that, and just go for it. And so that's what I did.
Wow, that's pretty good. I actually applaud you for that because not too many people have the guts to actually do that. And that was really wonderful. Yeah. So when you were trying other things.
I appreciate that. I think
go ahead.
No, I think just going about in the world, it was that realization, right? If I'm willing to step out into countries in which I don't know anybody, in which I don't know the language, in which I don't even have a plan of where I'm going to go once there, why am I afraid of committing to this thing?
That's so true. I mean, that's really terrifying. A place where you don't even know the language, right? And the way you did it, you didn't have anything planned, all hotels, whatever lined up for you. That takes a tremendous amount of courage. So you're absolutely right. Really good. So when were you doing, there was a period when you were doing other careers or other jobs other than writing. How did it feel for you when you did that?
It was hard. I freely admit that there was an anger inside me, and it was a lot of it because I wasn't really in touch with what I wanted to be doing, or really acknowledging what I wanted to do. Because I was pushing aside the writing. I wasn't focusing on the study of writing. I wasn't focusing on writing as even an emotional release. I was just pushing it all aside as if I put it away, maybe that feeling would go away. And as I spent time in these other areas, I couldn't really release those emotions. I didn't have that emotional connection to myself and the outside world. I didn't feel like I was capable of being vulnerable enough with myself, let alone the outside world. And it just kind of built this resentment in me.
I can understand that, especially since you pushed it all away. It wasn't like you were working at this and then in the evenings you wrote or on the weekends or wherever you traveled, you wrote. You just put it completely away, out of sight, out of mind, but it's not true. That's not what happens because it's still inside you burning.
Yeah, and it was burning hot. And therefore, that's part of why that anger was there because it was telling me you need to stay connected.
Okay, awesome. So you talk about remaining authentic in writing. Tell us a little bit about what you mean by that.
What I mean by that is, and this comes with an anecdote, my personal experience, when I first started writing in college for classes, I thought that I had to represent my social personality within my writing. And my writing was not good. And I freely admit that. I mean, part of it was because I was new. Part of it was because I didn't have anything to say, but I know it wasn't good. And even then, it didn't feel good. And I didn't feel like I was saying the things I wanted to say, but that's because I was trying to be someone else in my writing. I'm a very sociable person. I love talking to people. I love hearing stories. I love gaining new insights. But when I write, I'm not as funny. I'm not as flirtatious. I want to go deep and be deep and express feelings that I don't necessarily feel comfortable expressing when I talk to somebody. And I wasn't doing that in my writing. And so giving me that space, first that understanding, then that space, then the ability to explore, I found my voice, even though it's a very different voice than if you're talking to me in person. It's really my authentic writing voice. It's the way that I explore. And as I said earlier, when I was talking about not connecting with my writing and pushing it down and feeling angry about it, this is the exact opposite. I'm able to release those feelings and emotions and willing to show a face that I might not be willing to show when I'm talking one-on-one with someone.
Right. That's awesome. So what do you believe this authenticity in writing does for a writer and for, of course, your books, the things that you've written?
Yeah, well, it's not just about self-expression. It's about the individuality of expression. We, as a writer, you hear everybody talk a lot about, oh, there's only X amount of stories that can be told, right? And the difference is how you tell it, right? I mean, we've all seen how many different iterations of Romeo and Juliet there are, or how many different iterations of Hamlet there are. But it's affecting because the way that the story is told, I mean, The Lion King is exceptional, but it's just the story of Hamlet. So why is it so different? It's because of the way it resonates with us. And that's what being authentic in your writing does. It resonates differently when you understand what your actual emotional connection to the writing is and why it matters. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's dark and brooding, but it does mean that what you're doing within that writing space is, I mean, I'll use the word authentic, even though I'm trying to define authenticity, but it's vulnerability, right? If you're making a joke, it's a joke that really resonates with you, and therefore it will resonate with the reader. If I'm writing about a really emotional time in the character's life where they're thinking suicidal thoughts, then it has to be authentic and true to that character, making it individual to the character, but therefore actually global in its ability to reach people, because even though it's specific to that character, people have had those feelings before.
Yes, absolutely. When I do books of contributing authors, and when I talk to my authors, I tell them that when you write, the author is speaking to the reader. It's heart to heart. What you write down that comes from your heart affects the heart of the reader who's reading it. And if they're going through something, like you said, as far as a suicide or whatever it may be, they can, you know, they can truly feel and understand. So I love that you said that. I love that you said that it doesn't have to be dark and brooding. So many people, I think, believe that that to be a good or famous or whatever kind of writer, it has to be dark and brooding. You know, even with artists who do art, visual artists, the same thing. If you're not dark and brooding, you're not successful, but that nothing can be further from the truth. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. So we talked about leaning into vulnerability. That's really great. As you learned to lean into your vulnerability, I'm sure that this wasn't true from the beginning. So tell us a little bit about how the process of learning to lean in more was for you.
Absolutely. Part of it was an understanding of my own, where I wanted to go with my writing and the journey I wanted to take, and not professionally, but just craft-wise, what story I wanted to tell, how I wanted to tell these stories. And it also came as an understanding of what stories I like to read. And stories I like to read generally are emotional and dramatic, but at the same time not realistic. So they have a lot of magical elements or surreal elements, and that's part of the way the characters deal with those emotions is in mm-hmm. these fantastical elements or flights of fancy even, but it gives an entry point into understanding, this is how I feel about it, into understanding those really big, powerful emotions. And I'm sorry, I have a 3-year-old right now, so it's just resonating with me even more, this idea of trying to understand and connect with these emotions and then express them verbally when you don't really have the skills to do it. And mm-hmm. those were the elements I was working with at the time, trying to express these big feelings and big emotions when I didn't feel I had the skills to communicate it, even as, you know, a 20-something-year-old. Mm-hmm. And taking that journey and eventually coming to a story that I wrote that was, it was not a good story, but it was an eye-opening story. I was trying to do this retelling of the story of Isaac and Abraham, and I was telling it from the point of view of a gun, and there were a lot of these really different surreal elements, but it wasn't really coalescing very well. But at the same time, mm-hmm. it opened my eyes to how deep a story could be, and really that drama that I wanted and those surreal elements affecting the emotion. And that was the leap I needed to take to get to Life Between Seconds. And there were still a few years in between that time, but it was just compiling these emotional stories along my travels, my experience traveling, understanding what stories resonated with me as I travel, as these are told orally, while also reading a bunch when I'm traveling, because I was taking 15-hour bus rides and 10-hour plane rides. So I had so much time to read and watch movies that I started absorbing more and more of the storytelling aspects just by that, and mm-hmm. enabling my own understanding and ability of stories I wanted to share and why, that everything started coming together. So it was this combination of like self-expression, giving myself the space to read and write and watch movies or absorb other stories in whatever medium possible, that I right. then found that ability and voice. And that was the journey that I needed.
Yeah. Wow. And that was a courageous journey as well. It's not easy sometimes. I remember a time when I didn't know what I was feeling, you know, like I would know that I wasn't feeling good. I was feeling bad, right? That was just bad, quote unquote. But I couldn't get down to the root of why was I feeling bad? What caused this bad feeling in me? And I would have to really reflect, you know, and sometimes it took days to get down to the base of that. Whereas now I just kind of know instantly, because as you practice, then you know where these, like you call them big emotions, where are they coming from? What is the root of them, and how can I begin to release them? The most important thing. Okay, we're going to take a break. Here from our sponsors, and if you want to call in and ask Doug a question, the lines are open. You can call 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
From feeling broken and ashamed to unlocking potential and transforming your life, it is possible, as you'll see in Transformation Coach Christina Foxwell's new book, The Glass Angel. Foxwell shares her story of breaking free from shame and fear and finding hope, love, and freedom, and guides you to do the same. Get your copy of The Glass Angel, A Guide to Freedom, Peace, Transformation and Growth by Christina Foxwell at Barnes & Noble or on Amazon.
Cowboy Wisdom Hypnoacuity is wisdom energizing, fun opening personal expansion. Expands you out of yesterday, energizing today. Enterprising your dreams to experience your now connected desired life. Robert A. Wilson.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Maury Mitchell, with special guest Doug Weissman. We've been talking about what it means to be authentic in your writing and how to lean into vulnerability. So Doug, let's go into your book. Let's talk about Life Between Seconds. Where did your inspiration come for this, first of all?
Absolutely. It's a bit So it follows two characters, and there was different inspiration for both. One's a 20-something American male, and it's started out as a veiled biography, you know, similar to me, does a lot of traveling. But as I explored him more, I realized there's a lot more differences and similarities, but it was a good starting point. Then Sophia is a 70-something Argentinian woman, and her whole story was inspired by my visit to Buenos Aires when I was backpacking around South America, and I watched the Madre de la Plaza de Mayo march around the plaza with signs in silence demanding information of where their family members had gone, had been disappeared to during the junta in about the 1970s, 1980s. And after all these years, after these decades, they still didn't know what happened to their children, to their husbands, to their fathers, or their uncles, their brothers. And I found it to be so moving and devastating all at the same time that they were still going on, that they still hadn't had any awareness of what had happened to them. That closure was just not able to happen. And, you know, being able to speak with it and understand it more and research it more. And I just really felt compelled to tell the story from this point of view, not from someone who is being disappeared, but from someone who is experiencing that loss. And part of it is also driven by this kind of transgenerational, intergenerational trauma that comes from being in the Jewish community and seeing how the shootings that continue to take place, having one happen at my preschool when I was about 10 or 11 at the time and saw it happen live, and my sister's friend was shot, and people that I knew from when going there were shot, and I lived a mile and a half away from this space, from, you know, having understanding family members and friends in the Holocaust in these ways, or affected by it in these different ways. So it really opened my eyes to the larger scope of loss and how these traumas are passed down through time and through people and through friends and through space, and how it affects me and how it affects others in the ecosystem, whether they know it or not. And those were just the most trying and yet compelling aspects that I couldn't turn away from.
Mm. When you're talking about the mothers, the madres is Spanish for mothers, out there in silence, that kind of struck me. It seems just, because usually protests, people are screaming, right, or chanting or singing or whatever, but to just stand there in silence, wow, that just touched my heart. That is insane. And you're right about things being generational. I'm Cuban. I was actually born in Cuba, but came to the States when I was a baby. And we have, we're, you know, like divided from our family there because of the communism. And so there's a lot of generational trauma of not having met your family, of not being with your family, of them still suffering and not having enough to eat, et cetera, et cetera. So I know what it's like to be in maybe in ethnicity, whatever you want to call it, where there is this continued trauma. Thank you so much for bringing that forth, because and I like that it's from the aspect of the person who has the loss. Because usually stories are written from the person who's been kidnapped or tortured or whatever it is. But I think to write it from this other angle is really amazing. It's an amazing idea. Plus, you get to see how that person suffers, the suffering that people don't really talk about. So I love that. Very good.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I remember specifically watching this take place, the signs that they were carrying or the pictures, not even blown up pictures, but photographs like of like a Polaroid, something small, something regularly developed. And it just struck me, what would my mom do? How would she react? How would this affect her? And I couldn't get that thought out of my head. And then it transitioned to creating the character and realizing that she was this kind of strong, powerful combination of both my grandmothers, my paternal and maternal grandmother, and Sophia Loren. And it just, from there, it just kind of took off. And I understood her so well that I still kind of hear her voice. I mean, granted, I've been with this book for so long, and especially with all the interviews I've been doing about the book, but I still hear her voice so clearly and understand her so well. And really, her journey is so dear to me in its pain and its passions and its pleasures.
I fully understand that. It's amazing to me, because I'm a writer as well, how you build a character and it takes on a life of its own. And before you know it, it is now real to you, like you're saying.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. just begin to just grow and have different character aspects, flaws, whatever they may be, that are really touching. So I love that. It sounds absolutely amazing. What is the most important thing that you would like to say about your book to the audience?
It's really about healing. It's about these two characters, Peter and Sophia, and the traumas they have had in their past, that become nightmares. And in essence, it becomes a pain so great that they've grown around that they worry more about what life would feel like without that pain, because it's been with them for so long. So mm-hmm. it really becomes how brave they can be by coming together through their friendship and healing. And I feel like it's not something that is seen a lot in fiction, kind of this inner or this big division in age groups to become friends, but then mm-hmm. demonstrate healing through that process. But also, it's scary to open yourself up and be vulnerable to a stranger and become close. And it yeah. kind of tracks that process. What is the watershed moment in a friendship in which you kind of become acquaintances, but then go into actually being friends? And I wanted to track that, but also mine it and see and experience. So it's, yes, it might sound like this book is really about trauma, but it's more about healing.
I love that. That's beautiful. So what do you think is the main message that you want to give to the public?
That healing can happen, but it's not easy. Mm-hmm. And it's not just through the characters that you can see it, but through the work that you can do. And I myself have had to go through it in a lot of different ways at a lot of different times. And it's not just one thing and it's not just one time, but it's a constant push and pull. And I feel like, yes, these characters have big things that they have to overcome, but at the same time, it kind of gives that remarkable understanding that stories allow us of by connecting to someone else, by walking in their shoes, we understand them, but understand ourselves better through.
Yes, very good. I love it. Let's talk for a moment about how to get a hold of you and your book, Douglas.
Absolutely. I am very active on LinkedIn at Douglas Weissman. You can also find my website, douglasweissman.com. Very simple, just my first name and last name. My book is available anywhere where books are sold. Currently, it's sold out, so there might be a little bit of a back order. That
Yay.
Was super exciting to hear. I was so excited. I did not ask how many books they actually printed, because I just like the sound of it being sold out. So I know the publisher printed more than one, so that's at least a plus. But you can find the book on Amazon at Life Between Seconds. You could find it at bookshop.org, Life Between Seconds. From the publisher, Histria Press, HISTRIA.com, or you can go to your local Ask. I always am excited that Barnes & Noble and Target both have it on the website mm-hmm. and soon to have in stores once the printing comes out. And so
right.
these are like landmark moments. And I'm like, hey, look at this. Oh, my goodness.
How exciting. I'm so excited for you. And yay for selling out. That's awesome. And I agree with you. There's no need to know how many were printed. I love that.
Right.
So Doug, is there one last thing you'd like to say to a listener, something that's deeply on your heart today?
I would love for listeners to build more relationships. And I think that's something that I always come back to. It says it on my website. It's something that I passionately believe in when it comes to storytelling. It's one of the reasons why I love storytelling. I think it builds relationships, whether you're listening, whether you're telling it, whether you're sitting with someone as you listen or share. And it's something that really resonates with me because relationships are key to moving forward. Even as a writer, what is the purpose of being a writer? It's not to sit alone in a room and write the story. No, it's to sit alone in a room so the story goes out into the world and builds relationships with readers.
Absolutely true. And I love what you say about relationships, that we need to tell the stories. I can still remember stories, of course, that my parents are gone, that my parents told, stories about my grandparents who I never got to meet. All that is so rich, and I so much prefer to be at a gathering and be sharing stories than be just talking trivial things. You know, who wants to talk about trivial things?
Yeah.
Stories are who we are and what we've learned, and passing them down is just absolutely beautiful. Very good. Is there any last thing you'd like to say? We have about 4 minutes left.
Well, I mean, I've talked storytelling. I would obviously say buy my book, because that's just something that I think I have to say. I think I'm obligated or contracted to say by the publisher, mm-hmm. or maybe I just want to tell everybody to buy the book. But what you said really resonated with me about the idea of stories are who we are. And I think it's really telling, especially when you talk about concepts like intergenerational trauma, because we have it in the form of storytelling. My great-grandparents came over to the United States during the pogroms in Eastern Europe, but it's something mm-hmm. that was passed down to their children. And then my grandparents were children of the Great Depression, and then freshly into World War II. And these are stories and feelings that were passed down to my parents. And then my parents grew up in the 50s and the 60s as kind of the U.S. became this different world. And those are stories that are passed down to me and my siblings. And again, no matter the layers of the storytelling or the way that we hear it, they are who we are. They are who we become. They shape who we are. And whether we are able to sit in the pants of those who came before us, or walk in their shoes or not, it still resonates and sits with us. And we can either learn from those or reject those, but those are conscious choices that we have to make.
Absolutely, Doug. So true. And I love the learning part. And it takes a while, you know, when you're in your 20s, at least for me, you don't realize the value of those stories or the lessons in them, or even your own parents' story, you know, what they did, how they met, how they raised us. There's not that much value. As you become older, as you begin to have kids, perhaps, then you begin to realize the wisdom that was there, just in some simple, maybe simple stories. They look like simple stories, but the wisdom is really deep. And so I love storytelling as well. I always have. And I love what you're doing. I love that you took that experience that you had in, was it Argentina? And
It was in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
In Buenos Aires. And now have crafted this very personal, very touching, and powerful. Yes, it may be fiction, but the things that are experienced are true. And so I think fiction is so powerful because it is fiction. Every little detail didn't happen, but it comes from truths. And I love fiction for that. And thank you for us into the world.
Yeah, I agree and appreciate everything that you're saying. Fiction, I think, for me, is so powerful because it, I think, allows us to lift the veil off of things that we might be too afraid to look at if it were told truthfully or in a true way. I think it was V for Vendetta, this movie that I adore, came out in kind of the early 2000s.
Yeah.
But one of the lines in it was, artists use lies to tell the truth. And I think that's something that has always affected me ever since I heard it, because it's not, yes, it's framed as a quote-unquote lie, but at the same time, it's trying to shine a light on the truth underneath.
Yeah. Oh, I love that movie as well. Very good. Well, we're out of time, so thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for listening in to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. This is live right now, but a replay will be available immediately after, so please spread it. It can be listened to any day, anytime. And thank you so much for listening in again to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Bye for now.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide. with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell. Broadcasting live from Southern California.